Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinnertime favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas, to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. This is where we take, you know, a whole stack of sources, articles, notes, research, and we really try to pull out the key insights, the important stuff, just for you.
Exactly.
And today, we're diving into something from the car world.
Mm-hmm.
On the surface, maybe it sounds a bit minor, a small detail. But trust me, this little detail, it actually opens up this, well, this huge conversation. We're talking manufacturing, quality control, and really how it all affects safety for, you know, for all of us.
Right.
So, yeah, let's unpack this.
And that's really our mission here, isn't it, with this deep dive? Because what looks like a small recall, maybe just an inconvenience, it often gives you this almost microscopic view into these massive, incredibly complex industrial systems.
Ooh, like peeling back layers.
Exactly. We'll be sifting through quite a few layers today, starting really specific with a particular part on a car. Then we'll zoom out, look at, you know, broader industry trends. And finally, kind of examine that intricate dance between the big automakers, like Ford and Lincoln in this case, and their huge networks of suppliers. The goal isn't just telling you what happened.
No.
We want to shed light on why it matters, give you that context so you can be, you know, truly well-informed.
That's the core of it. This isn't just skimming the surface. It's a deep dive tailored for you, our listener. We want to give you the tools, the knowledge to look past the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And really understand the, well, the surprising depth behind something that seems as simple as a piece of car trim. So, yeah, get ready. Might see the car world a bit differently after this.
Hope so.
Okay, so let's jump right into the immediate news. The thing that sparked this whole conversation. It's a recent Ford recall.
Right.
And it involves one of their luxury SUVs. And to really get a feel for this, try to picture this.
Yeah.
You're driving, maybe highway speeds, sunny day, whatever. You glance in the mirror and you see a piece of trim, well, plastic trim, just coming loose from the car next to you, or maybe even your car.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's not good.
Not good at all. It's peeling up, maybe fluttering in the wind, and then maybe it tumbles onto the road, or worse, flies off towards another car.
Yeah, that's the real worry.
Exactly. That's the immediate kind of unsettling picture this recall paints.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets, well, really interesting, because the effects, they ripple outwards.
Mm-hmm.
So the vehicle we're talking about here is the Lincoln Aviator SUV.
Okay, the Aviator.
Yeah. And it's not just, you know, one specific batch from one year. This recall actually covers a pretty wide range model, years 2020 all the way through 2025.
Wow, 2020 to 2025, that's a long span.
It is. And the number of vehicles potentially affected, it's over 130,000. The specific number is 132,914 Aviators.
That's a significant number of SUVs.
Huge number. Now, what's the actual problem? It's this piece of sleek black plastic trim. It's attached to the rear door, right where it meets the C-pillar.
Right, the C-pillar. That's the post behind the back doors framing the rear window area.
Exactly that. And this trim piece, well, it could, and apparently in some cases already has peeled up or just completely detached from the car while it's moving.
While driving.
Yeah. And the direct risk, you know, it's pretty obvious. This chunk of plastic, even if it's not super heavy, becomes a potential hazard on the road.
Absolutely. Yeah. For other drivers, maybe motorcyclists, cyclists.
Yeah, exactly. At highway speeds, even something relatively light can cause damage or, you know, cause someone to swerve. It's a risk to other motorists.
Definitely not just cosmetic then.
Yeah. Not at all. Now, tracing the root cause, this is where we start peeling back those layers we talked about. It really goes to the heart of the modern car supply chain.
Okay.
This specific issue with the Aviator trim, they've traced it back to a part made by a company called Cooper Standard Automotive.
Cooper Standard. Okay, I know the name. They're a big player, right? A tier one supplier.
Exactly. Our source identifies them as one of Ford's tier one suppliers. So they make parts and supply them directly to Ford for the assembly line. A really critical link. Mm-hmm. And this specific problematic trim piece, the C-pillar applique, it was made at a Cooper Standard facility down in Aguascalientes, Mexico.
Ah, Aguascalientes. Yeah, a major hub for auto manufacturing. Lots of suppliers there.
Right. Now, here's the crucial bit understanding why it failed. It wasn't apparently a bad design.
Okay, so the part itself was designed okay.
Seems so. The way it was supposed to attach was fine, too. The failure was in the manufacturing process.
Ah, okay. How it was actually made.
Exactly. What they found was that inadequate pressure was used during the manufacturing process. Basically, when the adhesive backing was being applied or secured to the trim piece itself.
So not enough force to get a good bond with the adhesive.
Precisely. Think of it like not pressing a sticker down firmly enough. It might stick for a while.
Right. Initially, it looks okay.
Yeah. But then, you know, add wind, rain, hot, cold, vibrations from driving. That weak bond just gives way.
And eventually it lifts, peels, detaches.
And detaches. A seemingly small slip up in probably a highly automated process, right?
Yeah.
But with big consequences.
Yeah. And the timeline for this, when were these parts being made?
Good question. It seems this specific manufacturing issue started with parts entering production late in 2018.
Late 2018, wow.
And it wasn't corrected, or the faulty parts weren't taken out of production until May of this year.
May 2025. So that's over 5 years of potentially problematic parts being produced.
Yeah, a really long window. And that's when Ford apparently discovered the specific issue, which, you know, triggered the whole recall process and the notification to NHTSA.
NHTSA, right. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. They oversee all this.
They do.
Okay, what's really fascinating here, and you touched on it, is how these, you know, granular details about one part from one supplier facility, how they really shine a light on the sheer complexity of making cars today.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
It really is, because you hear that number, 132,914 units recalled across five model years.
Yeah, you assume every single Aviator from 2020 to 2025 has this problem.
Exactly, but that's actually not the case. And the source explains why Ford, like pretty much all the big automakers, they don't rely on just one single supplier for every single part.
Right, they hedge their bets, use multiple sources.
Precisely, it's called multi-sourcing. So for something like body trim, they might have two or three different suppliers making essentially the same part to the same specs.
Okay.
Which means this specific issue tied to Cooper Standard's process in Aguascalientes, it doesn't apply universally to every single Aviator built between 2020 and 2025.
Ah, so you could have two cars built maybe even on the same day.
Right. Same assembly line back to back. But if one got its C-pillar trim from supplier A and the other got it from Cooper Standard with the issue.
Only the second one is affected by this recall.
Exactly. It might not even correspond perfectly to, say, every car in a specific VIN sequence. It depends entirely on which batch of parts went onto which specific vehicle.
Wow. That highlights just how complex tracking this stuff must be for Ford.
Oh, absolutely. It's an incredibly intricate web. Different components, even seemingly identical ones coming from different places, maybe even different production lines within the same supplier. Pinpointing the affected vehicles requires some seriously sophisticated data tracking and analysis.
Yeah, it's definitely not just saying recall all cars made between date X and date Y.
Not even close. It's much more surgical than that.
Okay, so for someone who owns an Aviator from those years, or maybe is thinking about buying one.
Yeah.
What's the fix? What happens next?
Right, the practical side. Ford and Lincoln, they'll start officially notifying the owners of the specific affected vehicles starting July 28th, 2025.
Okay, so watch your mail or email around then if you have
Totally. And remember, it'll only be sent to those whose vehicle identification numbers, the VINs, are confirmed to have used the suspect parts based on Ford's manufacturing records.
Gotcha. And once you get notified?
You'll be instructed to take your Aviator to a Lincoln dealership. And the fix, it will be done completely free of charge, of course.
And what is the fix, exactly?
The dealers will basically permanently fix a revised C-pillar trim piece to the car.
Revised. So a new part or just putting it on better?
It likely means a combination. Either the replacement parts themselves are guaranteed to have been made with the correct adhesive pressure.
Right.
Or maybe the installation procedure at the dealership involves, you know, an extra step, maybe a different bonding agent, yeah, or just a more robust method to make absolutely sure it stays put this time.
Making sure that initial bond is absolutely solid.
Exactly. Getting it right from the start.
Now, there's an interesting point here, too. Ford isn't telling people to stop driving these cars.
That's correct. Ford is not recommending that owners stop driving their vehicles. They've categorized this, according to the source, as a seemingly minor issue.
Okay, seemingly minor. We just talked about parts flying off on the highway. How does that square?
It's a really important nuance. When an automaker classifies something as minor in this context, they're usually talking about the immediate operational safety of that vehicle for the people inside it.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't affect the brakes or the steering.
Exactly. This trim issue doesn't immediately impair the car's core safety functions.
Hmm.
Braking, steering, airbags, structural integrity, the ability to control the vehicle. Those are the kinds of things that usually trigger a do not drive warning.
Right. Those critical systems.
Mm-hmm. But, and this is the key point, that minor classification from Ford's perspective doesn't diminish the potential danger it poses to other people on the road.
Yeah, the hazard it creates externally.
Exactly. Which is why it absolutely still warrants a recall. It's always this tricky balance for automakers weighing the direct risk to their customers inside the car versus the potential indirect risk to the public, plus the huge cost and inconvenience of a recall.
So, okay, let's connect this back. What does all this mean for you, the listener? Maybe you own an Aviator, maybe you're just interested in cars generally.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a textbook case, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Of this contrast between an issue that might feel minor if you're the driver.
Right, maybe just annoying or looks bad.
Yeah, cosmetic flaw, a nuisance. But contrasting that with a very real potential safety risk for everyone else sharing the road.
Absolutely.
Even though Ford calls it minor from that operational standpoint, the fact that a piece of the car can just detach, fly off in speed, potentially hit another car, a biker, whatever.
Yeah, that elevates it. It's definitely more than just an aesthetic problem.
It absolutely is. It's a really stark reminder, I think, that even seemingly small parts, if they're not made right or put on right, can have these broader, potentially dangerous consequences for public safety.
Mm-hmm. Makes you think beyond just your own experience inside the car.
Definitely. Okay, so that's the specific Aviator recall. But now, let's zoom out. Because this isn't happening in a vacuum for Ford.
No, it's not.
Our source draws this, well, this much broader picture. A really striking observation about Ford's recent history with recalls in general. It's not just this one trim piece. There seems to be a bigger pattern. And that deserves a deep dive.
Yeah, the context here is really important.
So looking at Ford's overall recall record, the sheer volume is, well, it's kind of staggering, frankly.
It really is.
As of June 25th, 2025, that's the day before the article we're looking at came out.
Yeah.
Ford had already issued more than 80 separate recalls just this year.
80 recalls in less than 6 months. Just let that sink in. That's more than 3 per week on average.
It's relentless. And this isn't some sudden blip, right? The source points out Ford was actually number one for recalls across the entire industry in 2023.
Yep, they had that undesirable podium finish, as the source put it.
Undesirable, exactly.
Yeah.
Then they were second, very close second, to Stellantis in 2024.
Right.
But now, with over 80 already this year, the source suggests Ford is, quote, poised to return to the top for 2025.
Yeah.
They actually hit 81 recalls the day before the article published.
Wow. So they're potentially going to win the recall crown again.
Seems likely.
Yeah.
And when you add up all these different campaigns, the total impact is huge.
Mm-hmm.
The company has recalled well over 1 million units total just this year alone.
Well over 1 million vehicles needing to go back to the shop. Cars, trucks, SUVs.
It's a massive number. Well, each one representing, you know, hassle and worry for the owner.
Absolutely. And it's really crucial here to compare the severity of these different recalls.
Yes, that's key.
The Aviator trim, as we said, potential external hazard, but mostly an inconvenience or cosmetic issue for the owner.
Right.
But the source makes it crystal clear. Many of Ford's other recent recalls are much, much more serious. We're talking critical safety stuff that directly affects the people inside the car.
Like, what are some examples?
Well, there was a big one for the Mustang Mach-E electric SUV. The doors might not open if the low-voltage battery fails.
Whoa. Okay, yeah, that's bad. Stuck inside in an emergency.
Exactly. Major safety hazard. Then F-150s. Ford's bread and butter, right?
A best-selling truck forever.
Yeah. Some of those could potentially lose steering control.
Lose steering? That's terrifying.
Absolutely. Imagine that at highway speeds. And another really significant one, nearly 274,000 large SUVs recalled because of a risk of damage to the front brake lines.
Brake lines, affecting stopping power.
Severely affecting stopping power, yeah. Compromising the ability to stop safely. That's about as critical as it gets.
Wow. Okay. These are not minor things.
Not at all. And on top of those, the source also mentions this kind of recurring nagging problem. Rear camera issues. Apparently they've, quote, plagued almost every car in the lineup.
Rear cameras. Okay. Maybe not as immediately catastrophic as brakes or steering.
True, but still a safety issue, right? Impaired visibility when backing up, maneuvering. Mm-hmm. It can lead to accidents, fender benders, hitting things you can't see.
Yeah, definitely a safety feature you rely on. So the Aviator trim recall, it's really just one piece of this much bigger, much more complex picture of quality issues Ford seems to be wrestling with across their whole range of vehicles.
Exactly. It's the entry point to a much larger story about pervasive quality challenges.
So if we try to connect all these dots, this huge volume of recalls, this wide variety from minor trim to critical brakes, what does this really signify for a huge automaker like Ford? And maybe for the whole industry?
Well, first off, I think it speaks volumes about just how incredibly complex modern cars have become.
Yeah, they're not just engines and wheels anymore.
Not even close. They're these amazingly intricate, interconnected systems.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinnertime favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Thousands of parts sourced globally, all talking to each other through complex electronics, software, sensors.
Computers on wheels, basically.
Pretty much. And every single one of those components, every line of code, every sensor, it's a potential point of failure. The sheer number of things that could go wrong has just exploded.
Which makes quality control exponentially harder.
Monumental, almost Herculean, like the source implies. Trying to ensure perfection across thousands of parts from hundreds of suppliers, all integrated seamlessly, it's an immense challenge. A single faulty sensor, a tiny software bug, a process error like the Aviator trim adhesive, it can trigger a massive recall.
Right. And secondly, there's the cost, right? This has to be costing Ford a fortune.
Oh, absolutely. While the source doesn't give specific dollar figures, the implication is clear. These recalls are incredibly expensive.
You've got the cost of figuring out who's affected.
Yep, the data analysis.
Yeah.
Then notifying all those owners, manufacturing and shipping millions of replacement parts all over the world.
Paying the dealers for the labor to actually do the repairs.
Right. The direct costs easily run into the hundreds of millions, maybe even billions, annually when the numbers are this high.
Billions. Wow.
Potentially, yeah. But beyond the direct financial hit, there's the other cost. Reputation.
Mm-hmm. Consumer trust.
Exactly. When a brand is consistently at the top of the recall charts year after year, it inevitably starts to erode public perception. People start questioning the quality, the reliability, the safety.
Yeah, it damages the brand. It could affect sales, resale value.
All of that. It creates this trust deficit that's incredibly difficult and expensive to rebuild. It takes years of consistent improvement to win that back.
And this brings us to the regulators, right? NHTSA. They're watching all this.
Absolutely critical role. The source specifically mentions NHTSA received Ford's notification about the Aviator recall on June 13th.
So they're the watchdog.
They are. They're there to make sure automakers identify and fix safety defects properly and transparently. They conduct investigations. They can issue fines. They set the standards.
So the fact that there are so many recalls, does that mean the system is working or failing?
That's a great question. In a way, the high number of recalls and NHTSA's involvement shows the system for identifying and reporting problems is actually functioning. Issues are being caught and addressed, not hidden.
Okay, so transparency is happening, even if the number of underlying issues is concerning.
Precisely. It's this necessary, complex dance between the industry trying to build these complex machines and the regulators trying to ensure they're safe for everyone.
It's quite a lot to absorb, isn't it? When you look at the range trim flying off versus losing steering or brakes, what really stands out to you in all this? How do you think this constant drumbeat of recalls, even the quote-unquote minor ones, really affects how people feel about a brand like Ford?
Mm-hmm.
Does it just become background noise after a while? Or does it genuinely shake that core trust in, you know, built Ford tough or whatever the slogan is?
It's a really good question. I think for some people it might become noise, but for many others, especially if they're directly affected or if they hear about the really serious ones, yeah, it absolutely chips away at trust.
Okay, now this is where the story gets, I think, really fascinating and maybe a bit surprising.
Yeah, there's a twist.
The big twist, because despite this backdrop of record-setting recalls, all these problems surfacing, our source introduces this counter-narrative. Ford's quality control is actually improving.
Right. It sounds completely contradictory. How can recalls be surging while quality is supposedly getting better?
Exactly. It feels like saying, I don't know, a student is getting worse grades than ever, but they're actually studying harder and understanding the material better than before. It doesn't immediately make sense.
It doesn't. But this paradox is key to understanding what's really going on.
So what's the evidence for this improvement? What are they doing?
Well, the source points to some specific, concrete initiatives underway at Ford. Things designed specifically to tackle these quality issues head on.
Okay.
For example, there's explicit mention of using artificial intelligence, AI, in inspection processes.
AI inspection. Okay, that sounds futuristic, but what does it mean practically?
We can get into that, but it suggests a big leap in how they find and maybe even prevent defects. And besides the tech, there was also a major shakeup at the executive level back in December.
Changing leadership.
Significant organizational change, yeah. Which usually indicates a real top-down strategic focus. Leadership saying, okay, this is a top priority. We need to fix this now.
So not just tinkering around the edges, real systemic changes.
That's the implication, both technologically and organizationally.
Okay, so if they are making these big changes, implementing AI, shaking up management, why are the recall numbers still so high? Why the contradiction?
This is where that quote from Ford CEO Jim Farley comes in. It's really insightful. He apparently expressed regret, saying he wished he'd tackled these issues sooner.
Okay. Acknowledging the problem.
Yes. And he used that very evocative phrase. So many chickens have come home to roost.
Chickens coming home to roost.
Right.
Like past actions having consequences now.
Exactly. That phrase perfectly explains the apparent contradiction. It implies that a lot, maybe most, of the vehicles being recalled now.
The ones driving up those 80-plus recalls this year.
Right. Those vehicles were actually built before these new quality initiatives. The AI, the management focus really took hold and started making a difference on the assembly line.
Ah, okay. So the recalls we're seeing today are reflecting past problems.
Precisely. They're the ghosts of past production practices, past engineering decisions, maybe quality standards that weren't robust enough. Those issues were built into cars made, you know, 2, 3, 5 years ago.
And now, as those cars get older, get more miles on them, those latent defects are starting to show up.
Exactly. They're surfacing now. This is what we call the lag effect in quality control and manufacturing.
The lag effect. Okay, explain that a bit more.
Sure. Improvements you make today in how you design a part or how you assemble a car or how you inspect it, they don't magically fix the cars already out on the road.
Right, obviously.
And they don't even immediately show up as fewer problems in new cars. There is a significant time lag, often years, before those improvements fully translate into fewer defects and consequently fewer recalls down the line.
Why such a long lag?
Well, think about it. Implementing something like AI inspection isn't flipping a switch. You have to develop the algorithms, install the hardware, train the system, integrate it into the production flow. That takes time. Then design changes take time. New engineering standards need testing and validation. Factories might need retooling. Cultural changes from an executive shakeup take time to filter down and actually change behaviors on the floor.
Right. It's a huge ship to turn.
Exactly. And even once cars start rolling off the line built under these new, improved processes, it still takes time for them to be sold, driven and accumulate enough real-world data to prove that they are, in fact, more reliable and less prone to recall-worthy issues.
So what we're seeing now in the recall numbers is mostly the result of the old way of doing things.
That's the argument. We're seeing the tail end of the old problems, even while the seeds of new, better solutions are being planted and starting to grow.
Okay, that makes sense. So back to that AI inspection. What could that actually involve? What kind of things can AI catch that maybe humans or older systems couldn't?
Well, we're probably talking about highly advanced machine vision systems. AI can analyze images with incredible speed and precision. It might spot, say, microfractures and welds invisible to the human eye, or tiny inconsistencies in paint thickness or texture. Maybe AI-powered thermal imaging looking for potential electrical shorts before they happen, or think about the aviator trim.
The adhesive pressure.
Right. AI could potentially monitor the data from the robotic arms applying the adhesive in real time, detecting even minute deviations in pressure or application pattern that could lead to a weak bond later.
So it's not just catching mistakes after they happen, but potentially preventing them.
That's the goal of advanced quality control, yes. Moving from reactive finding defects to proactive and even predictive anticipating potential issues based on data trends and preventing them from occurring in the first place.
Okay, that's a huge shift. And the executive shakeup. How does changing people at the top lead to better cars on the line?
It signals a fundamental shift in priorities and culture. It usually means things like giving the quality control teams more power, more budget.
Right. More authority.
Investing much more heavily in testing and validation before a car even goes into production. Implementing stricter checks and balances all the way through design and manufacturing.
Holding people accountable.
Definitely. It's about embedding this culture where quality is truly job one for everyone, mm-hmm. from the engineers designing the parts to the workers assembling them. It often involves bringing in new leaders with specific expertise in modern quality management systems, like Six Sigma or Lean Manufacturing, and really pushing those principles throughout the organization.
It sounds like a massive, complex undertaking for a company the size of Ford.
Oh, it absolutely is. Transforming the quality culture of a global giant is not easy or quick.
That ocean liner analogy you used earlier feels really apt.
Mm-hmm.
You can crank the wheel hard, fire up the thrusters, but that huge ship has so much inertia. It takes a long time and sustained effort before you actually see it change course significantly.
Exactly. Ford seems to be putting in that effort now, turning the wheel, but we're still largely seeing the wake from its previous course in these recall numbers. The new direction hasn't fully manifested yet.
That's a really crucial distinction. Subtle, but vital for understanding the situation. Okay, so we've gone from trim pieces to recall stats to AI and corporate culture. Let's bring this all back home. Back to you, our listener.
Why should you care about the nitty-gritty of automotive supply chains or, you know, a CEO's regrets or this lag effect thing?
Mm-hmm.
How does it affect you?
Right. Well, first, I think understanding just how important those supplier relationships are is key.
Definitely.
This aviator recall, starting with Cooper Standard in Mexico, it just perfectly shows how dependent Ford, and really any big manufacturer, is on this vast global network.
One supplier, one specific part, one process error.
And boom, a massive recall affecting over 130,000 vehicles. It shows how a problem in one small corner of that network can have huge ripple effects.
It really underscores the interconnectedness and maybe the vulnerability of modern manufacturing. It's not just one company building a car. It's an ecosystem.
Totally. Imagine if that supplier had the same issue with parts they sent to, say, GM or Toyota too. The complexity explodes.
Yeah. Huge potential for disruption from a single point of failure.
Second, I think this whole deep dive really changes how you look at recalls themselves, doesn't it?
Hopefully, yeah.
While they're annoying, maybe worrying,
yeah,
they're actually a sign that the safety system is working in a way.
Right. It means problems are being found, reported, and hopefully fixed. It's transparency and accountability in action, even if the numbers seem bad.
Yeah, sweeping it under the rug would be far worse in the long run. So high recall numbers aren't just a sign of bad quality. They can also be a sign of active vigilance and remediation.
It's a complex signal, for sure.
And finally, this understanding should help you make more informed decisions, right? Whether you're buying a car or just thinking about the one you have.
How so?
Well, knowing about the lag effect, the supplier issues, the difference between minor and major recalls, it might make you less likely to just react to a scary headline.
Mm-hmm. Look deeper.
Yeah. Ask, what kind of recall is it? Is it trim or is it brakes? Understand the context. Maybe you appreciate the huge challenge these companies face building these incredibly complex machines and the efforts they're making to improve, even if the results aren't immediate.
It's about moving beyond the surface numbers to understand the dynamics underneath, being truly informed.
Exactly.
And if we connect that to the bigger picture, thinking critically, this nuanced view is so important today with information flying at us constantly.
Yeah.
First, it helps you apply that idea of a spectrum of risk we talked about. Not all recalls are emergencies demanding you park the car immediately.
Right. Distinguish the aviator trim from the F-150 steering.
Precisely. Knowing that difference helps you manage concern, avoid unnecessary panic, and prioritize what actually needs immediate attention versus what's an inconvenience to get fixed at the next service.
Less information overload.
Exactly. And second, it really encourages you, hopefully, to look beyond just the raw recall numbers. Don't just stop at Ford issued 80 recalls.
Yeah.
Ask why. What are the root causes? And maybe more importantly, what's the company doing about it? Are they just putting out fires, or are they fundamentally changing how they operate to prevent fires in the future?
Right. And the CEO comments, the AI, the shakeup, they suggest Ford is trying to do the latter, trying for systemic change.
It suggests that, yes, that deeper understanding, looking at the problem and the response, is what being truly well-informed is all about. It's assessing not just the current state, but the trajectory. Are they trying to genuinely improve?
Absolutely. It's about understanding the nuances, the context, not just the headlines. Looking for the why behind the what. Always.
Well said.
So that just about wraps up this deep dive. We started with, what seemed pretty small, a piece of plastic trim coming off a Lincoln Aviator. And it took us on quite a journey, didn't it? Through global supply chains, Ford's surprising recall leadership, and this really fascinating counterintuitive story about quality improving even while recall numbers are reflecting past issues.
It really does show the value, I think, of digging deeper, understanding the why behind the what, especially when things seem complex or contradictory.
Yeah.
It gives you, hopefully, a better appreciation for these intricate systems, the often invisible work of engineers and designers, and that constant push for improvement that goes into the products we use every day.
So here's a final thought to leave you with. The next time you hear about any product recall, could be a car, could be a washing machine, could be anything. What new questions might you ask? Maybe about those silent efforts of the people who designed it, or that incredibly complex dance between all the different parts and the production lines that had to come together perfectly, or maybe imperfectly, to bring that product to life and eventually into your home.